What's up, guys? Welcome to episode number 18 of Sir Kevin Says. Today we feature Paul Jackson Jr., a prolific guitar player, composer, producer, and adjunct professor at USC, University of Southern California. Paul Jackson Jr. was born in South Central California. He knew by the age of 15 that he wanted to become a professional musician. He attended the University of Southern California, majoring in music. In addition to being a recording artist in his own right, Jackson is also a highly accomplished LA session player with a career spanning multiple decades. He has supported artists ranging from Michael Jackson, no relation, on the albums Thriller, Bad, Dangerous, History and Blood on the Dance Floor, History in the Mix, to The Temptations, Whitney Houston, Alexander O'Neal, Five Star, on the album Silk and Steel, Howard Hewitt, Thomas Anders, Patti LaBelle, and Luis Miguel, to rockers such as Chicago and Elton John, to jazz-oriented players such as George Duke, George Benson, Dave Koz, Al Jarreau, Marcus Miller, and Kirk Whalum, and to Christian artists such as Leon Patillo and Don Moen. In 2013, it was revealed that he contributed to several tracks on the album Random Access Memories by Daft Punk and UK-based singer-songwriter Birdie's second album, Fire Within. He also played guitar on Lisa Stanfield's 2014 album, Seven. Jackson was seen playing guitar in a wide variety of styles on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and American Idol. I came to know about Paul Jackson at a very young age. Many friends of mine would always use his name when it came to what I thought the term was finger picking on guitar, but he clarifies that it is more about rhythmic guitar playing, meaning he takes into account the structure of the song, the melody, the space within the song, and so on and so forth. This episode with Paul Jackson Jr. is actually shorter than what I wanted it to be. So I told him that we would do a part two because he has so much to share. It was hard to cram everything that we did within the 20 minutes that you'll hear in this podcast. But that's why we're going to do a part two probably in the next month or so.
If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com. and view or listen to them that way.
So without further ado, episode number 18 with Paul Jackson Jr. coming your way. What's up, guys? Welcome to episode number 18 of Sir Kevin Says. Today, I am with Paul Jackson Jr., guitarist, composer, producer, and adjunct professor here at USC.
That is correct.
What's new, Paul? What's going on?
Lots going on. Been touring a lot this year with the group I play with, Jazz Funk Soul, which is myself, Jeff Lorber, and Everett Harp. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing that. Been doing some shows with great music director Ricky Minor. Mm-hmm. We just did the Oscars, and we did... He's actually nominated for an Emmy for the show we did for Aretha Franklin tribute.
Okay.
And also the Motown 60th anniversary tribute. Did the Quincy Jones 85th birthday celebration. Greg Fillinganes was the MD on that.
Wow.
That also got him nominated for an Emmy. And Ricky is once again going to do the Kennedy Center Honors. They are honoring Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Incredible.
So we'll be doing that, teaching here at USC and loving it under... Dr. Patrice Rushen.
Oh, that's incredible.
So that's a blast. You know, doing recording sessions mostly at home, which has been great. And like I said, traveling and just having a good time and really appreciative of what the Lord has still allowed me to do. You know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
Tell us a little bit about your journey. How did it get started for you at a very young age? Or where did you grow up, actually?
Grew up in South Central Los Angeles. Okay. I grew up directly, we're at USC now. So grew up directly 8 miles south of here.
Wow.
And, you know, I took piano lessons, and then when I was, I started studying guitar when I was about 12 years old, and when I was 15, I said, you know, I think I want to be a musician, and my mom said, well, why don't you go down the street and talk to Patrice? Patrice lived down the street from me.
Wow.
And so she kind of took me under her wing and helped me get started. Then I met a guy by the name of Frank Wilson. The interesting thing about Frank Wilson was one of the number one producers in the world at the time, and he was a big producer in Motown. He wrote I'm Gonna Make You Love Me, Keep On Trucking, all these bigs, You Make Me So Very Happy, all these big hits. And he left Motown, and actually he became a minister of the gospel. So I started doing sessions for him, And actually, he also led me to Christ. I got saved in his living room. Wow. Oh, interesting story. So he got me started doing sessions. At the same time, I met Ray Parker Jr., Lee Ritenour, and Al McKay, who were all getting out of doing sessions to pursue various solo interests. So they would recommend me for sessions. And so I got started doing that. So did that for a number of years and then started doing solo records about 20 years ago, I guess.
You got nominated for a Grammy for one of those,
got
right?
Got nominated for a Grammy for my first CD, mm-hmm. I Came to Play.
Yeah.
And so just been doing solo records and you know, working with different folks, you know, everybody from Ella Fitzgerald to George Duke. It was like we were talking about, I just recorded a record that'll be released that has Nipsey Hussle on it.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. Did a record for The Weeknd, for Daft Punk. A lot of stuff from Michael Jackson, including Love Never Felt Like This. And Bad, Dangerous, Thriller, and Destiny, a bunch of stuff. So I've been real fortunate just to, you know, do a lot of really cool things with a lot of people. You know, went on the road with Whitney Houston for 5 years. So scored for television and movies. And so I'm just having, you know, enjoying.
And you also did The Tonight Show.
Did The Tonight Show with Ricky Minor for like almost 4 years.
Yeah.
So that was a blast. Yeah.
So these opportunities that you've gotten to work with these artists.
Yes.
When you first started recording in the studio, was there anyone that took you under their wing to kind of teach you the ropes, how the process is like, the etiquette of a studio musician?
Absolutely. A few people. Brother by the name of Wawa Watson. Google him if you don't know him. But he's, you know, did just tons and tons of records. So Wawa Watson did to a large degree. Keyboard player by the name of Sonny Burke, who was a big session guy and also was a musical director for Smokey Robinson.
Yeah.
And, you know, different guys. Clarence McDonald, Ray Parker Jr. still, you know, I call him my financial advisor, because not only is he a great musician, but he's also really, really smart when it comes to, you know, investments.
Yeah.
And so I had a lot of people, and also Patrice, obviously, you know, who is still my boss after several years, you know.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of help from a lot of people.
Okay.
Yeah.
And working with, let's say, Michael Jackson, for example, was he in the room when you guys were recording, or was it you would record at home and then send the track separately? How was that process like?
Well, back then, there were really no home studios per se. So sometimes he was in the room. When I worked on PYT, I was actually by myself and creating all the guitar parts. But a lot of times he was in the room. I tell an interesting story. I played on a song that he did called This Place Hotel. And I did the guitar solo. Oh. And he met him at the studio and he says, Paul, this is what I want you to play. And he puts in a cassette tape. And on the tape is him singing the solo. He said, this is what I want you to play. So I played note for note what Michael sang. And what a lot of people don't know is a lot of the parts on a lot of Michael Jackson records he came up with, he would just sing them to the musicians.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yep. He'd sing the rhythms. He'd sing the notes. He'd, you know, whatever. He didn't really know chords per se.
Yeah.
But he would sing a lot of the parts to the musicians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And working with Whitney, was she very detailed in that way as well? When it came to her music, did she want to hear the record when you would perform with her? Or
not so much. I was fortunate. I played on a lot of her hits as well. I played on Greatest Love of All. I played on Where Do Broken Hearts Go. I played on the Bodyguard soundtrack. So I'd done a lot of recording with her. But when we were live, we had the freedom to kind of like elaborate and embellish what was on the record. My buddy Ollie Brown has a saying that, you know, people can play the record at home. So in a live experience, they want to experience something that they can't get at home. So especially, and that's where I started working with Ricky Minor.
Yeah.
And Ricky would always, you know, push to take it to the next level. So, yeah.
A big part of your life is your faith.
Yes.
Can you expand a little bit how you got saved? And I know you talked about it a little bit earlier, but how has that journey been like for you?
Well, you know, it's been comforting. It's probably the best thing. You know, when you think about the fact that the Bible says it's the steps of a righteous man ordered by God. When the Bible says that if you acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, he'll direct your path. When it says in Matthew 6:33, when you seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you, all these things will be added to you, things that you need. You realize, and also in Psalms 91, where it says God will give his angels charge over you. Mm-hmm. You know, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. So you start to understand that, that it's not just religion, it's a relationship.
That's good.
And I tell people ask me, well, Paul, why are you a Christian? And I said, well, to me, it's very pragmatic. God is omnipotent, God is omniscient, and God is omnipresent. Those are three things that I'm not, nor can I ever be. Mm. So because of that, I know that he can run my life better than I can.
Yeah.
And because he created me and knows everything about me, if I let him order my steps, I know I'll be going in the right direction.
That's good.
And so that's really what it is. For me, it's more pragmatic than anything else. It's like for me to attempt to run my own life and control my career and control my family and control my finances and all those kind of things would be ludicrous when the person who loves me more than anybody could ever love me is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. So that's really how I look at it.
Do you have a lot of friends or people that you meet that approach you in that way, kind of ask you about your faith, and like they're very curious? I'm assuming because of, you know, things that you don't do, you don't participate in, that other musicians nowadays would want to, you know, whatever. How do you go about expressing that faith to others?
The biggest thing that you have to do is live it. You know, Teddy Campbell and I, Teddy Campbell's a great, great drummer. He and I talk about it all the time. And my personal feeling is that people will get saved when they see Christians pulling off what they can't pull off. Loving each other like they can't love, having faith like they don't have, if you will, signs and wonders that they can't pull off, but even less than signs and wonders. Because Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples by the love you have one for another. So when people see you doing things, or like you said, not doing things that they do or can't understand, that makes them curious. It's like, well, Paul, what makes you tick? You know, it's like David said, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. And I think about the length of my career and how the Lord has still allowed me to do things at a very high level. And with a lot of younger guitar players, some of my favorites are people like Sean Hinton and Adam Holly and Eric Walls and Chris Payton and Jairus Mosey and Vindell Smith, who plays with, he's been playing with Kirk Franklin lately, and all these guys and many, many more. And we're all working, Isaiah Sharkey and all these guys, and we're still all working. And I realized, I said, wait a minute. God is a God of creation, so he doesn't have to take anything from me to give it to them, or take anything from them and give it to me. So if I trust him, he's going to direct my path in the ways I should go. You know, so that's really, for me, it's it, more than anything else, it's pragmatic and you know, and hopefully just living a life that that's pleasing to him, that will demonstrate his resurrection power in my life. So
Who are some people that you would say inspire you today?
Wow. Well, musically, it's a long list. wow, everybody, you know, still my favorites, like Lee Ritenour and Al McKay and Ray Parker Jr. still, and Wes Montgomery, George Benson, Adam Agganti, who played, guitar player, played a lot with Marcus Miller, Pat Martino, still Earl Klugh. I'm still a big, unbelievable Earl Klugh fan. Joe Satriani, I like his playing a lot. Steve Vai. Steve Lukather. I'm still a big Steve Lukather fan. He's like, to me, he's like, just, you know. So these are some of my guitar buddies. Doyle Dykes. If you don't know who Doyle Dykes is, Doyle Dykes is like, he's like a finger picker personified. And his testimony is pretty amazing. If you Google Doyle Dykes, he's just unbelievable. Like jaw-dropping good. So I like Doyle Dykes. If you like Tommy Emmanuel, you'll love Doyle Dykes. So people like that, you know, spiritually, people like still my buddy Abraham Laboriel.
Incredible.
Justo Amario and my pastor, Bishop Kenneth Ulmer, and you know, people that I have fellowship with, the people that you wouldn't know, people like Minister Charles, Mr. Charles Solomon. He is married to a buddy of mine, Minister Terry McFadden, and I call him Uncle Charles because when somebody has been through the journey where you're going, there's certain mistakes you don't have to make, you know, if you'll just listen. The Bible says in the abundance of godly counsel, there's safety. So because of that, you know, if you just will take heed to some of it, you know, you may avoid some pitfalls. So, you know, people like that really, you know, inspire me.
When I was growing up at my church, a lot of the musicians there would refer to, I'm not a guitar player per se, but I've heard the term finger picking. And it's always, it always coincided with your name.
Really?
Everybody would say, give me that Paul Jackson vibe. Can you expand a little bit about finger picking? Because you've been notorious for that style of play.
I think you're talking about like the rhythm. The
rhythm approach, right?
Well, really, I approach it as a science. Because to simply just play through a song is not enough. You have to analyze the chord structure. You have to analyze the voice leadings. You have to analyze who's playing what. You have to analyze the ranges. And also the space. When you analyze all those things, what it allows you to do is come up with parts that weave through the song and complement other things that are going
on. That's good, yeah.
So even, you know, the part may be simple, it may be complex, but it's taking into account every other thing that's happening in the song. And when you do that, you come up with a part that's complementary versus a part that's annoying. I tell the story that when I first started playing guitar, you know, there would on sessions, there'd be two and three guitar players, and you'd go, after recording the song, you'd go and listen to the playback, and I would watch and see which part the producer turned up. If he didn't turn my part up, or if he turned my part down, I realized, okay, that was the wrong part. So I started to ask myself, why is that the wrong part? And then started making the necessary adjustments. So
yeah.
I actually approach it like a science.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your current passions today that you do besides music and teaching?
Oh, wow. I love dog training. Yeah, I have two German Shepherd dogs right okay. now.
Yesterday was National Dog Day, or was
it? I'm not sure. It could have been.
Right, it was, right? Okay. Just making
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, so dog training is one of my passions. Another passion is old cars and motorcycles.
Mm.
Yeah, I have a couple of old cars that I really like. And
please tell me Jay Leno gave you one of his old cars.
No, actually, even better. Jay Leno did a show on my car.
Wow.
If you look, go on YouTube, and if you put in Jay Leno 442, my car comes up. We did a show. In fact, it's one of the famous shows because we actually dented the headers, which I've had replaced.
Wow.
But yeah, so he did a show on, actually, the car I have in the parking lot now, 1969 Oldsmobile 442.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so I'm a little bit of a car nut. And, you know, like motorcycles, anything that's loud and makes a lot of noise. And then I'm still a gearhead. Unbelievable. It's, you know, it's associated with music. But I like pedals and amps. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm always looking on YouTube and for different videos, looking at Sweetwater and trying to figure out what's new and what's hip and what people like. And the cool thing is I'm able to share it with the students because they're not going to be current if I don't stay current in
that's
some way,
good.
Shape, or form. And so my challenge for myself is always to stay current, listen to what's going on. So I can impart that knowledge, not just what we did in the past, but also, you know, what's going on now. So hopefully give them a running start to the future.
Yeah. You know. What's your approach to teaching here at USC?
Well, my approach to teaching is a little bit different. I mean, obviously, we have to know the basics. You have to know scales. You have to know chords. You have to know chord progressions. You have to know how to make chords, what's in a chord. One of the things I found out is that nobody is ever going to ask you, can you play a C major 7 on the third fret? Nobody's ever going to ask you that unless he's a guitar player. What a composer will ask you is, hey, can you play a C major 7 with the fifth on top or with the third on top or with the root on top or whatever? You have to know how to do that. So also knowing how to read music well. My adage is if you can read it, you can play it. You know, if you can read it, you can probably figure out where it's going and know enough musical styles to where you can make it believable. Let's say you're not a country player. Well, if somebody writes out a country line and you know, okay, I know about twang and I know this might be the back pickup of a Telecaster and some, you know, just making adjustments on the amp. And if somebody's written it out, you can pull it off.
Yeah.
So obviously reading, chord structure, chord placement, the ways to make chords, literacy, theory. And then the other thing that I do is, you know, I teach about how to get a good guitar sound. You know, doesn't matter how well you play if your sound is terrible. You know, what to do with pedals. You know, how to record silently. You know, now there's a big push for silent stages.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of people are going for, you know, the Kemper and the Axe effects. I actually like the Fryette GPDI. But, you know, same effect to go direct and get a good sound through the board, through the system without making a lot of noise on stage. You know, when I started working, there were no in-ears. Now, you know, people want quiet stages. So,
yeah.
And then also utilizing what people use. So in my lessons, I use Logic. I use Pro Tools. You know, we use things. We do recording. This year I've added Contact Complete so I can actually record tracks in my office that the kids can play to. Okay, here's a track. Go home and put guitars on it and come back, you know, as opposed
cool.
to, you know. And so using different techniques, there's a website called Karaoke-Version where you can make versions of famous songs without certain instruments. So I'll make versions without the guitar parts. You know, some songs I play, even some songs that I've actually played on. It's like, okay, you know, go home and make this feel good, you know, or how do you make this feel good, you know?
That's good.
So just, you know, try to use like utilizing as much of current technique as I can and blending that with knowledge from the past.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Paul, we're coming up on our last couple of questions because I know you have a busy schedule, but how important is accountability?
Accountability in terms of your faith is probably, I don't want to say number one, but it's got to be close to number one. I'll tell you why. My old pastor, Frank Wilson, you know, says, you know, you can fool people in church, but you can't fool people when you're in the street. You know, it's not what you do on Sunday. I can be hallelujah and praise the Lord and, you know, speak in an unknown tongue and pull off the church stuff. But it's Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, where the rubber meets the road. People say that integrity is what I do when nobody's looking. That's good. And one of the things that helps you to have integrity is accountability. In fact, I have a men's group that I meet with once a month, and no agenda, not really a Bible study, although we have challenges. The only edict is that the answers have to come from the Bible. But it's about accountability. How are you living? You know, what are you doing? How's your relationship with your kids? When's the last time you talked to your kids? How's your relationship with your wife? You know, how you doing with the internet? How you doing with drugs and alcohol? You know, how you doing with with all these kind of things?
Yeah.
And you have to have somebody that you can be transparent with. You mentioned Teddy Campbell. I can be very transparent with Teddy Campbell. I can call Teddy on the phone and say, Teddy, I was on this trip and I saw this girl, and this is the first girl that I seen that I wanted to get with. And he'd be like, well, what'd you do? And it's like, I didn't do anything. It's like, well, why didn't you do it? You know, it's like, I'm glad you didn't, but what caused you to stop? You know, did you get her phone number? If you did, why'd you get her phone number? And really dig and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
Because he has that right, and I've given him that right, you know, is because I know that it's out of love. The Bible says you speak the truth in love, and sometimes it's a little painful, you know. So that's really where accountability, you know, meets the road. It's like you have to have brothers or sisters, if you're a woman, where you can be transparent with, who will hold you accountable, but not judge you.
That's good.
You know, it's not made from a place of judgment. It's made a place of love.
Yeah.
But you still got to be accountable.
Yeah.
You know, because like I said, you can fool people on Sundays. You know, you can fool people, you know, in front of a microphone. But what happens when, you know, when the lights are off, like my old pastor used to say, when the lights are off and the shades are drawn, what really happens? You know, what does your life look like? And that's why accountability is so important.
Yeah. What's the advice that you'd give for aspiring musicians? What's your advice to them?
That's easy. That's threefold. Okay. Number one, well, not necessarily number one, no particular order. Success happens when preparation and opportunity meet. What was it? Sugar-free under the auspices of DJ Quick said, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready.
Yeah.
So you stay ready. So when that opportunity comes, you walk into that. Also realize that God is a God of creation, so he's going to create stuff just for you. That's for nobody else, so just stay ready. And the third one is work hard, practice, study, get as much knowledge as you can, and break your neck, you know, obtaining knowledge and your craft and honing it, be it songwriting or playing or building guitars or whatever the heck it is. And then after you've done every single thing you can do, trust God like you hadn't done anything. And that's it.
Yeah. I don't have to say anything else.
Yay.
Paul Jackson Jr., thank you so much for your time.
You are very welcome,
I appreciate
Kevin.
It. Thank you so much. This is episode 18 with Paul Jackson Jr. Short but sweet.
Was it too short?
It's perfect.
Okay,
it's
good.
Perfect.
Okay.
You're good. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Yay.
Thanks for checking out episode number 18 with Paul Jackson Jr. Hopefully you enjoyed it. There's much more to come. And part two coming up in about a month or so, I will post that when it is available. Make sure to check out episode number 19 next week. Hopefully it is not as hot in California. I am. All right, guys.
Have a great week.